Hi, it's Julie here. I'm going to do an audio for you on the home practice sheet level one, sequence seven. Not quite as I've detailed on the sheet, because of course you have that reference as well. So we're going to do it in a slightly different way, but do make sure you've looked through first and have what you might need in the way of support in terms of blocks, bricks, blankets, a belt, a chair, but most definitely include a wall for the narrow end of your mat. And we'll start right there in Tadasana. And we're going to use this Tadasana as our sort of quietening time, where you might in some classes sit for a while or perhaps chant. I want you just to take the quietness into the back body, so heels at the wall, slightly bend the knees, so you can bring the pelvis to the wall, feel the waist coming close, draw your shoulders back as you straighten the legs, and slide your head up the wall or door. So just stand steady, breathe smoothly, and optimize your contact with the wall. So if it really proves difficult to stand quite so close, you could of course creep your toes out slightly. I'd still like you to keep the feet together, but if you've got a back issue, of course, make the necessary adjustment with the feet apart, as you will have done in class. So again, just everyone recharge your Tadasana, using the wall like a mirror, just to reflect how you're standing. And on an inhalation, as we've done on several sheets, Urdhva Hastasana, take the arms forward and up without disturbing the view in your mirror. Yeah, the feeling of that spinal body connection to the wall behind you. So indeed, you may have to take the arms, not quite as upright, and work there. You may want to work, if it's coming well, so that you try and bring more and more of the upper arm to the wall. And then we'll just release. So what we'll do is we'll stay at the wall and we'll turn around. We'll do Vrikshasana. So just have enough space that you can take balance with the wall and help one foot as you place it high inside the thigh. So usually we lift the right leg first, placing it inside the left leg, toes pointing down. And stand so that your chest, your tummy, all face the wall directly. The knee moving away from the wall. And then change sides. Once more, tree pose. Standing on the right leg now. As you bend up the left leg and place the foot, you'll find the hips twisting to the left, but bring the hips forward so they face the wall and bring the knee back away from the wall. So at this point, we've just got the hands on the wall for balance, or if it's coming well, hands on the hips so that you can have the chest nicely open. And then we'll go back to the first side. Vrikshasana. Standing on the left leg, right leg bent up. Using the wall if you need it. Stretching the arms up if you can. But keep the hips forward, facing the wall, the door, and the knee back. Two or three breaths in the position. And change sides. Vrikshasana, left side. So keep that navel facing straight forward at the wall, using a little bit of support if necessary, and not using it if you don't, but still using the wall like a mirror so you can see the balance. Is there any twist in your pose? You can eliminate it. And then release. Okay, triangle pose number three. Trikonasana. So I thought we would just change the way of working slightly and remind you of the way where you take your toes up the wall. So if I take my right heel close to the door or wall, turn my toes up as much as possible, step back, knowing that we're going to triangle pose. I might say at this point, of course, not suitable for those with hamstring injuries, just do normally. Stretch the arms, those who are, once you're ready, and extend. Come over your right leg. You can look down and see that your hand, wrist, elbow, shoulder are all in line with that right ankle. If the balance is tricky, you can of course take your left hand to the wall, and that also can help you to turn. And then inhale, up you come, change sides. So left heel close to the wall. Mine doesn't quite go into the crease of the skirting board, but yours might. Toes as high up the wall as you can. Step back with the left foot. Stretch your arms. And then come down over that left leg. Trikonasana. Strong straight legs. Looking up to the ceiling if you can. But definitely waking up the back of that left leg. And come up once more. So same pose, second time. So the stretch should be less intense on the back of the right leg this time. You may or may not need to take balance with the left hand on the wall. And of course, if the pose is coming well, you look up to the ceiling so you can see your left thumb and index. And then inhale up, change sides. Trikonasana. Left side. On an inhalation, stretch your arms. So start to coordinate the movement with the breath. Exhaling as you come down. Become steady and settled in your pose. If you can, look up towards that right hand. Two or three breaths, being steady. Keeping breathing smoothly. Inhale, up you come. So Tadasana just for a moment. And those who might need a bit of help with the balance or to take some of the strain off their knees, you could of course do Parsvakonasana over a chair. You might well need a brick for this pose, as the stretch is quite strong in the back of the front leg. Once more, right toes up the wall, heeling as close as you can. Bigger step back now. Make a square with your right knee. Stretch your arms and come down on the right side. First time round, you could just keep the left hand on the waist. And if it feels a strain, of course, be on a chair, use a brick, use a chair for your hand even. But make sure you're turning so that your chest turns from right to left and you're starting to look up to the ceiling. Unless, of course, you have neck issues. Inhale, up you come. So we're moving a bit faster today. Change sides. Left foot in position. Brick or chair, if you need it, just behind the left ankle. I can hear my foot squeaking down the wood. And then come to make the square at the left knee. And you'll feel that you're really working on that left hip joint. So this first time you could keep the right hand on the waist. Take the right elbow back more, right shoulder back more. So that you turn your eyes, your chest up to the ceiling. And then inhale up. Back to the first side. And once more, Parsvakonasana, right side. Knee over ankle on the right, pressing into the heel behind you, reach into the hand behind you, and then turn the hand and arm up and bring it in line with the left ear. So in all likelihood, you'll have the left fingertips on the wall or door, and try to look up from under your arm and see the ceiling. Even walk the hand slightly behind you so you can turn more. And then up you come. And change sides. So, left foot in position. Big step back with the right foot. Press into that right heel as you bend the left leg. Placing the left hand. In all likelihood, it's going to be on a brick. Floor is quite far in this position. Take time to stretch the right hand back towards the right foot before you stretch up. Turn the palm to the ceiling, sorry, the wall, the door, and then bring the fingertips to that wall or door overhead. So you have the connection of stretch from right heel to right fingertips. You're trying to look from under the right arm up towards the ceiling, and then you're going to inhale and come up. Join the feet, Tadasana. A few breaths in Tadasana. Just recover yourself. Use the wall by all means, as we did at the start. Breath settling. If you need to fetch anything, put on a layer, take off a layer, and pause your audio, of course. So next, as you can see, is Parsvottanasana. And it would be quite unkind of me, in a way, to say let's do that with the right toes up the wall. But we certainly could try. And then you can extend forwards over that right leg and come down the leg, or have a couple of bricks handy. And as long as your legs are wide enough, your head won't touch the wall. They'll be close. Really feel that the stretch is in the whole of that right leg, from the heel to the buttock, and lift the buttock up. Even come onto the tiptoes of the back foot and lift the left heel and reach it back. That might give some balance and some relief to the right leg. And now stretch your arms back, inhale, up you come. Change legs. So first we're doing Urdhvamukha Parsvottanasana. Left toes up, big step back with the right foot. Exhale, come over that left leg. If your head's on the wall, you'll have to just go wider. If you're struggling with the balance, take height for the hands. But also, lift the right heel slightly. Really turn the right thigh to face the floor. Lift the right hamstrings to the ceiling in order to lift that left buttock. And by balancing your hips, you'll find the spine releases better. And then inhale and up you come. So to do Parsvottanasana classically, you'll stand in the centre of the mat. We won't use the wall at all. If you would prefer to do the pose with support, then you can repeat what we just did, or indeed you could turn it round, where you just have the heel at the wall, which you'll be more familiar with because that's the variation we use in class the most. If you're using the wall, go in your own time. If you're in the centre of your mat, take your arms back, touch your fingertips, point them into the spine, turn them up to the head. Parsvottanasana. You could, of course, hold the wrists. Jump if you can to take the legs wide. Turning in on the left foot and out with the right foot. So again, you get that turn that we practiced to the right side,
Lift up the eyes, open the chest, and extend forwards over your right leg. So the tummy, the navel is turning to the right thigh, the chin is coming to the shin, the shoulders are nice and open, elbows lifted, and look forwards as you inhale to come up. Keep the hands in position. You get the best out of it this way. Turning the feet. So you face the left end of your mat. Roll the shoulders back and push those fingertips up into the spine. So you really open the chest and you feel more weight in your back foot. And from there, reach forwards, lengthening the spine, keeping the chest open and aligning yourself to that left leg. Let your head hang. Take a couple of breaths there. And then stretch the arms back if you're holding wrists. Otherwise, just look up. Inhale. Up you come. Recovery pose. Adho Mukha Svanasana. So we'll come to dog pose. I think I'd say on the sheet from all fours. You can do that another time. Let's lie on our tummies. Lie on your tummy. Hands under the shoulders. Feet hip width apart, tuck the toes under, and then boost yourself up to lift the hips and let the head descend in dog pose, downward facing dog. So like the last pose, chest well open, breathing deeply, breathing well, strong limbs. We immediately feel that quietening effect of having the head down. Making your pose steady. Coming onto your knees, sitting back on your heels, and then preparing to do Virasana. So number 7 on the sheet. And because we're going to run 7 into 8, make sure that whilst you're kneeling up with your knees together, that your feet are wide enough apart that you could sit between your feet, probably on a blanket, brick or blocks, bolster if you have one. Let the shins remain facing the floor. And press slightly into the shins. Lift your buttocks up, hover, so you get a sense of how the legs work in the pose. And gradually let the weight come back down onto your support or onto the floor. But still have the idea you might just kneel up at any moment. Take your thumbs to your heels, the very high point of your heel, and your fingers to the front of the heel near your instep. Remember when we started in Tadasana, the length of spine we contacted to the wall. So try here as the weight comes into your buttocks and draws the tailbone down. Feel the lumbar can lengthen. The shoulders can come back. And down, away from the ears. While the crown of the head is lifted. So from here, if you have the space, I'd like you to stretch your arms wide, out to the sides, and up. I'd like you to interlock the fingers overhead. And then turn your palms to the ceiling. So at this point, the elbows will be wide. and quite likely the back will have arched again. So try and lengthen out your spine, weighten the buttocks down, tummy toned a bit more, and then start to squeeze the elbows in as you extend the arms up. Open the palms. Stretch the wrists. Feel a very even extension in both sides of the trunk. Keeping a nice even length in the back. So now what we're going to do is bend the elbows, turn the palms to face the head and look up. See which way you've slotted the fingers. Keep the palms facing you, but slide so the opposite wee finger is at the back of the stack. Wiggle the fingers into their webs. Turn the palms to the ceiling. Look forwards again. Check your back is in neutral. Slightly press down on your shins as if you were going to kneel up. And then squeeze the elbows in. And if you have gone faster than these instructions, pause and try and do it in this slightly different manner. Otherwise, you feel nothing new. You learn nothing new because you work by habits. So here we are in Parvatasan, second side. Parvatasan. You're going to unloose the fingers now. Stretch your arms out to the side. Bring the hands down and you'll kneel up to rearrange yourself so that you look down your mat for Dandasana. So clearly we're having all sorts of interesting side effects. I came so that you would have the bird sound. Well, there's clearly work going on in the neighbouring gardens and a helicopter out for whatever reason. So you just notice that and let it pass. Select the height you need to come back to the ground in your Dandasana. Bring the legs close together, unless there's a back issue. Pull up your thigh muscles as we did in the last pose, and you'll have done in all the standings. So that awareness that we brought to the back thighs by taking the foot up the wall in the standings should help in the length and spread of your back thighs now in Dandasana. So taking the shoulders back, reaching down with the hands. If you're sitting on the floor, then work to straighten the arms. And if you're sitting on a raise, in all likelihood you'll have to spider the fingertips and cup the hand. But try in any case to sit as tall as you can. And this is where the bonus comes in. So from here, keeping that length in the body, that even stretch in your trunk, stretch the arms up again. Urdhva Hastasana in Dandasana. And then you're going to turn to the right. Without disturbing your legs or feet, take the hands down. So the right hand is behind you, left hand on the left leg, and just turn. See how much movement you've got around the belly, the waist, the chest, the head, the eyes, and then inhale, up you come. Keep the arms up as you come to the front, and then just turn yourself to the left side and take the arms back down. Left hand behind you, close to the buttock. Right hand against the left leg. Legs still level in Dandasana. Again, create the spiraling turn from the lower spine to the mid spine to the upper spine. And include the neck and head in that rotation before you stretch the arms up and come back to the centre.
We've warmed up the spines, we've grounded our poses. Now we're going to bend the right leg back into Virasana, just as it was in 7 and 8. And if this makes you tilt too much, then you will be familiar with the idea of propping up the straight leg buttock, perhaps with a blanket or block or some other item, cushion that you might have handy. And when you feel the hips are level, you're going to stretch up with the arms, Urdhva Hastasana. You're going to reach forward. You don't need a belt at this stage because your leg is there. Just bring your hands onto that left leg, whether it's knee level, shin level, ankle level, it doesn't matter. But pull slightly on the leg so you can lift your chest, roll the shoulders back, feel the sternum lifting to the chin, lift the chin from the sternum, and lift the eyes to the ceiling. Now recharge that straight leg and press into the right shin as if you were going to kneel up. And then stretch the arms up and come back to sitting, release the right leg. Join both legs, stretch the heels, open the backs of the legs and sit tall, Dandasana. Bend back now with the left leg. So you bring the heel close to the outer thigh and hip. And if there's knee pain or tilting on this side, bring in the props to support you that you would use in class. Working with pain and restriction is not good for the joint or muscles. It's not good for the nervous system. It's not good for your circulation. So learn from pain. Work away from the pain with the breath and the supports to sit tall. And then you're going to once more stretch the arms up, Urdhva Hastasana. Again, stretch forward. So look forwards and let the arms come down. Clasping that right leg now, the straight leg. Just take a couple of breaths and pull slightly on that leg. So you feel the chest coming forward to the upper arms. So you feel the back of that straight leg opening a bit more. And see if you can also lift the chin. Lift the eyes up without cramping or pressurizing the back of the neck. Try and keep soft there. In the way that you have to keep soft in the top of the groin and thigh of the bent leg to keep the buttock down. Inhale, up you come and release that left leg. Dandasana, make sure the knees recover well. Okay, once more, we're going to do Trianga Mukhaikapada Paschimottanasana, written out for you in full. And this time you're going to stay, which is why I suggested you might want a chair at the start of the class. But most people will need something in order to rest their head on or hands on when you come forward. So this time, like I say, we're going to stay. So we don't have to stretch the arms up. In fact, we'll do the very opposite. We'll stretch the arms back. But we'll take the chest forward, the chin forward. Strong with your straight leg. And bring your head, your forehead, ideally, to rest on a chair, or brick, or bolster. And still my hands are stretching back. My shoulders are rolling up. My palms are facing the ceiling. So I'm trying to keep that nice even openness in both sides of my chest so I can breathe well and rest quietly with my throat soft. I'm not saying there's not a stretch in the back of my left leg, the straight leg. But I breathe into that stretch, I let it spread and release. Even though I'm working to lift up the front thigh, I'm trying to release the back thigh, the back of the knee. Trying to get space in the lower back.
all the while my arms are stretching back.
Arguably, you could take them out to the side. See how you like that? So a little bit of experimentation, and then up you come. Release the right leg. And bend back the left. So, Triangle Mukha Kapada, second time on the left side. Sit tall, stretch your hands back, and extend forward. So you're leading with the chin. You feel the sternum
drawn forward. As the hands reach back, you feel the shoulders drawn back. You have to find a balance of softness in the bent leg, pressure down in that shin, and strength in the straight leg to keep you steady and stable in your pose. Smooth, even breaths in your posture.
Stay, if you can, without straining, just stay. Learn to use the props that allow you to stay and find the quietness that makes a forward bend support your nervous system. So if it's a strain, you don't have enough props. I think you can safely say. So from here, come up, inhalation. If you practice this again, and actually I do recommend you do all of these sequences several times, actually, because you have to do them on your own. You can do them with me. You can go between the audio and the practice sheet. And then by practicing at home, we really start to learn, don't we, what works. We have to listen to our bodies more. There's no distraction of what's going on in the class and for somebody else. So with the quietness of that forward bend, we're going to move on to Setu Bandha, Sarvangasana. So the image that comes on the yoga font, as I say, is not ideal because very few people can take their heels to the floor without compromising their back. And even fewer people can do this with the hands on the back. So we'll do it the way we most often do, so that we use a support for the buttocks, whether it's a bolster, pile of blocks, or a brick. And I'm going to measure up so I can use the wall for my feet. So if I take my feet on the wall, as if I was doing Dandasana, and then I work out where exactly my sit bones are, and I place a brick or the bolster at that level, and I am sorry about distracting noises, but we're near the end, so we'll continue. And then I lie back with my knees bent up, but my hips level with the brick or bolster or pile of blocks. And then you're going to bring that in to support your tailbone and stretch your legs out so they can rest on the wall. Or indeed, of course, you could do this on chairs. So when you arrive in your pose, the legs should be horizontal. The abdomen broad and long. The chest open evenly on each side. And now effortlessly, the shoulders drawn back. And if it's a pain in the neck, that's bad news. Come down and make a fold of your mat or blanket to go under your shoulders. And perhaps don't stretch the legs out if there's any problems with the back or the neck. Just do the pose with the knees bent, as you might often do in class. Smooth, deep inhalation. Soft, slow exhalation. Settling into a Setu Bandha, Sarvangasana. Seeking that stillness, steadiness that comes when you have the right props So it can be a quiet pose with most of the body weight on the shoulders or indeed on the brick. Spread that weight or supports that you've chosen for the pelvis. Working to soften the throat, relax the jaw, relax the tongue, quieten the eyes by looking in towards the chest or indeed closing them and still looking in that direction. Whether the legs are bent or straight, whether the feet are together or apart, try and connect with those back thighs, those back knees, the back of the calf, and extend into the heel. Because you have a good awareness there from today's practice. And then we're going to bend the knees. Take the feet back to the floor. Remove any supports that you've had under the pelvis. If you've been on chairs, of course, you have to slide out. And then let your spine settle back on the ground. So now the ground is like the mirror for the spine, reflecting how much release you can find, how much length, how much spread, because we release the spine in both those directions. And then we're going to do Supta Baddha Konasana. So I'm suggesting, as per the sheet, that we do it without any props. But of course, there's nothing to stop you taking bolsters and blankets and belts as it might suit you. But if possible, you're going to lie on your back, as you are. Catch your ankles, bring the toes, the feet together, and take the knees apart. Now you're going to try and get the spine to rest back to the ground. And it may be you can't hold the ankles and do this. So use a belt. Use a belt to bridge that gap. Extend the length of the arms. But definitely work to bring the spine close to the ground. Press the heels well. Again, focus on the exhalations. Having positioned yourself, you don't have to keep working. The spine is resting. Just enjoy the openness for your abdomen, openness for your chest. In balance with the quietness, the inward reflection that's come in the last two or three poses for the mind. As we know, yoga is an inward journey, and we use the posture work not just for its physical attributes, but to help us develop greater inward sensitivity, so we get to know ourselves better. So thank you for practicing again, and go well. Use the audios and the papers, as I say. Go between them and enjoy your yoga. And I look forward to being with you again soon.